The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Simon Samach Beis, Hilchos Masu Matin, Sifim Yud Aleph through Tesvav. Sif Yud Aleph. Chayavim Moshe Akol, Lahamim Mumunim, Shiyum Chazan Al Chanuyois. The heads of the city are required to set up inspectors who go around the different stores. Chomishnim Seitoi Mida Chasera, anyone who's found to have a short measure, or Mishkal Chaser, or faulty weight, or Maznaim Ukukolim, or their scales are off. They have the ability to hit the store owner, and to fine him, as they see fit in their eyes. Many people ask, sometimes they wanted to buy a new computer screen, and they see one advertised, they say it's a 21-inch screen, and they buy it, and they come back to their house, and when they measure it, it's not 21 inches wide and 21 inches tall, and they get upset, and they call up the store, and they say, well, what happened? And the store explains to them, well, that it's 21 inches, but that's measured on a diagonal, and you also have to include the part of the screen that's covered by the plastic frame that's around the screen. They get very upset because they thought they were getting a 21-inch screen. That's what it said on the sign. The answer is that that's not a problem. There was nothing wrong done by the store because that's the way the minig that these things are measured and described. Like we learned the other day, you have to weigh and measure according to the minig of Medina, and the minig of Medina is that when you advertise a 21-inch screen, that means the measure is being done on the diagonal and inclusive of the plastic frame. And even though the customer will tell you, well, I didn't know that, and no one told me that, and I never would have bought the screen had I known that, because I was looking for a different size screen or whatever it may be. But the answer still is that you have to be aware of what the minhag hamedina is when you're buying something. And just because you didn't know, that doesn't mean that the seller was wrong. The seller did it according to the minhag hamedina. You have to know that. The same thing occurs a lot of times in real estate. If someone's renting a whole building for his office, and it was advertised as being 5,000 square feet, and he signs his lease, and he's paying per foot, and it says that it's a 5,000 square foot building, and he orders some carpeting later on, and the carpet dimensions indicate that all the area is really only, let's say, 4,400 square feet, and he's pretty upset because he's paying for 600 square feet that aren't there, so he calls up the landlord or the real estate broker. We ask them what's going on, and they explain to him, oh, when we measure the building, we're measuring from the exterior measurements. We're going to the outside brick and measuring it from one side of the building to the outside brick on the other side of the building, and your building, say, is 500 by 100 square feet, each 500 feet on one side and 100 square feet on the other side, which comes out to be 5,000 square feet, and that's why you're being charged that way. The reason why you don't need so much carpeting is because you're not carpeting the thickness of the walls, both the exterior walls and the interior walls. So that's where the difference is, and the customer or the renter will say, well, you know, I didn't know that, and I needed 5,000 actual square feet for everything I was looking to do, and that's what I was willing to pay for, but not for these extra square feet that I have no usage of, and no one ever told me that, and I had no idea. The answer is that's too bad, because, again, if you're going into that type of transaction, you have to be aware and make yourself aware of the local custom, and if you're not aware of the local custom, so then that's something that's your problem. It's something that you can't blame the seller with. Sif Yud Beis. Also, la'adam lahashay smida chaser beveisay b'chanusay. Person's not allowed to hold in his possession a short weight or measure in his house or in a store. Alpha pishenu maidit ba, even though he's not going to use it to weigh or measure, just by keeping that around is an Isser. V'mshoya, and if he does keep it around, Oiver Balav, he's Oiver an Isser, Shinama, like it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yilocha B'chischa Evan V'Oven, you can't have a big stone weight and a small stone weight in your possession, G'day L'Ktana, Lo Yilocha B'Veischa Eifa V'Eifa, you can't have two different size weights. G'dayla k'tana, a measures, a large measure or a short, a small measure. V'afilu l'aseis es hamida avid l'mei raglayim osa. Even if you want to not use the weight for weighing or measuring, you just want to use it as a bedpan, it's still osa to have around in your house. Why? Shema yavoy mishena yodei avim deiva. Because somebody who doesn't know that it's faulty might come and end up using it. V'myesh minig b'ir shein moidin ala b'mida arishuma. And if there's a minig in the city that people will only use weights that have a certification seal, and this weight or measure does not have a certification seal on it, so then you're allowed to keep it around the house, even if it's faulty, obviously, because there's no concern that it might ever be used for commerce. It won't be used for weighing or measuring. Now, Moshama Zalman Orbach asked the question, well, you know, many people, they have in their houses different measuring spoons and measuring cups, and at least in his time, most of them were not accurate. Most of them were off. So how can you have that in your house if the one cup measurement isn't really a cup and the teaspoon isn't really a teaspoon? Perhaps that would be part of this isser. But he explains, no, that's not a problem, because again, the issue here is things that might be used for commerce, and we're not going to ever use, no one would ever use a plastic measuring spoon that's meant to measure, you know, the cooking ingredients for to buy and sell things. So therefore, it's not considered a weight or measure. It's considered an estimator for ingredients. So therefore, one's allowed to have those things around in his house. However, the Minchas Yitzchak had a shalala like this. They asked them that there was a gemach in Yerushalayim that was lending out baby scales so people could weigh their babies to make sure that they were gaining the proper amount of weight. But the scales were a little bit off. Now, for the purpose of the gemach, for people to weigh their babies at home, it was perfectly functional. But if it would be used in business, it would be considered a faulty way to measure. And since these scales could also be used in business, something that would be used in commerce, so perhaps that's a problem. And they want. And the gemach asked, well, the solution to that problem, could we just write, put a sticker on each scale that say not to be used for commerce, or that the scales are slightly off, and it should not be used when transacting business. So even though he brings down as a Kesef Kedoshim that says that it is okay, but he questions that for one of the very reasons that we just mentioned. We mentioned that if something has a certification seal, so then if the weights or measures in that area are only used if they have certification seals, and if there's no certification seal, so then no one would use it for their weight or measure. So then you're allowed to keep around the faulty weight or measure if it doesn't have such a seal on it, because it'll be never used for weighing or measuring. A person would try to look for the seal, he see there's no seal, so then he wouldn't use it for measuring. But since there's no weights or seals that are used for those type of scales when they're used for commerce, it's not something that's monitored and has special seals. So therefore, What's to tell you that someone might use that scale for commerce? There's nothing stopping him. He might not see the sticker that says not to use it. We're only going to be looking for something if it's customary to have something, but to have a warning sticker that's not customary to have, so why would someone think to look for that? So that it could perhaps inadvertently be used for commerce. So the matter is not that simple. So a common case where someone would have a way to measure unknowingly would be, let's say a person has an uncle in the fabric business, and he has a wooden yardstick that he uses to measure the fabric when he sells it. And now he has one yardstick that's warped so that it's not 36 inches from tip to tip, rather it's only 35 and a half inches, so obviously you can't use it in commerce, so he gave it to you because you always have a problem. You have your children keep on having their toys go underneath the couch, and the balls, they will go underneath the couch, and they're hard to scoop out, but with this yardstick, that's a very convenient thing. You'll be able to scoop them out. So that would be something that you're not allowed to have in your house as is, because it's a faulty way to measure, and even though you're not in the fabric business and no one on your block is in the fabric business, and you don't see how it would be used in commerce because you don't plan to transact such commerce, but since it is the type of way to measure that is used in commerce, so then a person's not allowed to have it in their possession even though it's being used for other purposes. Now, what's the solution? The solution would be to take a can of spray paint and spray paint over the numbers so that they're no longer visible, and now it's no longer a yardstick. It's just a regular stick that has some black paint on it. It's no longer a measurer. Just to write something on the yardstick to say not to be used in commerce or not an accurate way to measure, that might not suffice, as we said from the Minchas Yitzchak, because no one's looking for the warning sign. It's only in a situation where all the weights and measures have certifications if they're going to be used in commerce. So then someone's going to look for the certification seal and he won't find it, he won't use it. But over here, yardsticks don't have certification seals, so no one's looking for that. So what's to say that they're going to look for the warning to say that it's not an accurate way to measure? Sif Yud Gimel. Hamachaza Achad Dover Liknoisa. If someone's looking after something to buy it, looking to buy something, or L'Soichoi, he's looking to rent something, Ben Karka Ben Metaplin, whether it's real estate or whether it's tangible goods, Ben Minochri Ben Minisrael, whether from a Yid or from a Nochri, Ukvar Hushvu Al Hadomim, and they already agreed on the price. The Kaidim Shagomu is a Kinyan, however, before the legal transfer of the merchandise is made, Someone else stepped in and bought or rented that item and stole the deal away. Nikra Rasha. That person's called a Rasha. The terminology in the Gemara is Ani Mahapich B'Charora. This is a case where someone else interferes after agreement was made, but before the legal transfer came, that other person came in is considered a Rasha. Avon Madayin Loi Hushwa Adamim. However, if let's say they didn't agree on the price yet, but the seller wants a certain price and the buyer is not agreeable on that price, he wants a lower price, then somebody else could come in and take that deal because they haven't come to an agreement on the terms and conditions of the deal. When they used to have the Nachrim, well, Kadaima or similar Minachri from Minachri, they used to have the Nachrim would be the landowners, and usually a person who rented out an apartment would keep on renewing the apartment from year to year. And so another Yid wasn't allowed to come in and speak to the landlord to offer a higher price so that the landlord will rent it to him and get rid of the Yid that was there. That's something that which is not done because we don't want to push up the prices in the market serving us. So when it comes to Ani Mahapich B'Charora, the entering into somebody else's deal before it was consummated, so let's give a common example. Let's say you're looking to buy a house, and Reuven already put a bid on the house, and so can you go and now look at the house and put a bid on it also? The answer is, of course you can, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, because you didn't even, the first deal was never accepted, the first offer was never accepted, so it's still fair game. It's not like the deal was settled and now you're coming in before the actual Kenyan was made, before the transfer of ownership was made. It's still not a settled deal. But even most of the times, and the way commerce works today, even if the house did get an offer and the owner accepted the offer, however, and now it's going to go to the attorneys to draw up a contract, but usually there's more items than just the price when it comes to buying a house. They want to know, well, when you're going to move out. You have to have an agreement whether there's going to be a mortgage contingency clause. You have to decide, well, you know, what's included in the house. Does the chandelier come along? Does the blinds come along? There are usually several other terms and conditions that have to be negotiated in order for the deal to be considered fully accepted with all its terms and conditions. So therefore, if only the price was the only thing that was agreed upon, but there are other terms and conditions that are important as well, so then that would be a situation where someone else can come in and offer a better price and steal the deal away because not all terms and conditions were agreed upon. This is only after all terms and conditions were agreed upon. An exception to this rule, Shulchan Aruch brings down, is by a matana, by a gift. When it comes to a gift, you can go and enter and try to steal the deal away, even though somebody else already had a meeting of the minds on that. So, for example, let's say you're in shul and you see a sign on the bulletin board. It says, I'm moving and I have a couch which I'm giving away for free. And here's my home phone number. If you're interested, please give a call. And as you ring the sign, you see this guy next to you take out his cell phone, and he calls up, and he leaves a message on the machine saying that he's interested in the couch. And you're interested in the couch as well. and you know this guy's cell number, the one who's giving it away, you know his cell number. So you call him up on his cell and you say, I saw the sign for the couch. I'm interested in it. Can I pick it up now? And he says, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll be home in 5 minutes. And you meet him at home and you take the couch and you put it into your car. And as you drive away, he goes inside and he listens to his message machine and he gets the message from the first guy who was actually previously in time prior to when you contacted him. Still, that's okay. That's not a problem because the reason behind this halacha, one of the reasons behind the halacha, is that why is the person interfered in Russia? What did he do? What did he do wrong? The deal didn't close yet. The dust didn't settle on the deal. The answer is because in general we say if Reuven is looking to buy something, he made an agreement with somebody. So why did Shimon have to come in and bust up that deal? Shimon could have gone somewhere else and purchased a similar item. He didn't have to go bust up Reuven's deal. So that's why he's a Russia. But in the case of Matana, and a Matana, you can't get things for free all the time. That's something that's not available all over the place. So therefore, when it came to this situation with the free couch, so Shimon can't get a free couch somewhere else so fast. So that's why Shimon's allowed to go and try to steal the deal away, even though Reuven wanted the couch first and left a message and they agreed on all terms and conditions. It was free. But still, nevertheless, Shimon's allowed to go in that case. There's a machlekes about whether something is being offered at a wild discount. If there's an issue, ani mahapech b'charora, in that situation. So let's say someone's looking to buy a car and it's really a $5,000 car, but the person is selling it for $3,000 and he's meichel on the einah, and Reuven agreed with the owner he's going to buy the car for $3,000. Can Shimon come now and offer a little bit more and try to steal the deal away? And even though according to the reason that you can't find it somewhere else, there would be perhaps room to say that svara. However, Lamaisa, we're machmir on that, and we say that no, whenever there's a purchase and a sale, so we always, when it's for money, so then the gezeirah was that you don't interrupt the deal, even though perhaps the deal couldn't be found elsewhere, but still it's still something that's being paid for. As opposed to matana, comes from something that's being given away for free. Everybody agrees that you don't have to stay back, but if you want to, you can go in and get the deal. And I'm not saying that you have to do that. Obviously, you don't always make good friends, long-lasting relationships that way, but in terms of halacha, what's right and what's allowed, there's certainly that's something that's allowed. Sif Yudalid. Hanaisin mois lechaver liknais lekaka. If someone gives his friend money to act as his agent to go buy a certain piece of real estate, or metalplin, or tangible goods, v'halach hashaliach, and the shliach went, v'kanes hachefetz b'ma'isav, and he bought, the shliach bought the money with his own money, bought the item with his own money, b'shvil atzmai, harezer amai, he's considered a tricky person, he's considered someone who fools other people. So let's say Reuven wanted to buy a certain car, and he sent Shimon with the money to go and get the car for him, and Shimon decided to take his own money and buy the car because it was such a good deal. So Shimon would be a ramoi, which is not allowed. Now let's say Shimon wanted to buy the car because it was such a great deal, and he didn't have the money, so he decided to take Reuven's own money that was given to him to buy it. But he has in mind, and he tells the seller he's buying it for Shimon. Says he's buying it for himself, for Shimon. So nevertheless, mechuyav litnei loy afa pishekano l'atzmai. Shimon has to give that item to Reuven, even though Shimon bought it on his own behalf. But if he used Reuven's money and Reuven told him, you know, sent him as an agent to get it, and now he's trying to pull a fast one, it doesn't. That won't help him, and the item has to be given to Reuven. It is pointed out in the Paiskim, though, Shulchan Aruch says that let's say Shimon went to buy the item as he was told. And the seller said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sell it to Reuven. I know you're Reuven's agent, but I'm not interested in selling this item to Reuven for whatever reasons it may be. So then at that point, if Shimon wants the item for himself, he's allowed to go and buy the item with Shimon's own money. Why? Because there's no loss to Reuven. Originally, Reuven trusted him to do this, but now that it can't be done, certainly Shimon's allowed to now take advantage and get that great deal if he so wishes. Siv Tezvav. Mishan Asan, I feel rak mitzas domim ala mekach. Someone gave only a portion of the full price that has to be given for a certain purchase. He puts down some of the money and he'll come back to give the rest of the money. Asherasham ala mekach simon, or he made a certain mark on the merchandise, b'fnei ha'meicha, in front of the seller. Or the seller told him, make a marking on the items that you're taking, which was a type of way of showing that it's going to belong to that person, the purchaser. Even though there's no legal transfer of the merchandise, it's not considered a kinyan what was done. Nevertheless, whoever backs off at that point did not act like a yid. The chayiv lekabo mishapara is chayiv to accept upon himself the curse of mishapara. What's that curse? The hainu sha'ayirin oisai bebeistin. He's cursed in beistin. The aimim, and they say mishapara ma'anshei dora mabul, the one who punished the people of the generation of the flood in Noach's time, meaning the Rabbani Shalom, who punished them. Me'anshei dora flago, he punished from the dora flago. Me'anshei stoyim v'amayro, and Hashem who punished the people of stoyim v'amayro u'mitzrayim. Shetavu b'yamin, from the Mitzrayim that were drowned in the water, whoever does all these punishments to people who are wicked, who are you from? Yimisha'inu aymei b'dibiroi. He should punish the one who did not stand up to his word, meaning the person who backed out of that transaction. The reasoning behind this is really midaraisa, money is kaina. Mo is kaina, meaning that once you give money to someone for an item, that item has a legal transfer, it belongs to you. However, Chazal v'Geizer, when it comes to Metaltalin, the Mois is not kind of, the money will not be considered a legal transfer. Why? Because if, let's say you bought something and you gave the money to the guy and you didn't pick it up and now there's a fire in his warehouse, he's not going to come. The seller's not going to come and work hard to try to save your merchandise because it's not his. He's not going to lose anything. He's going to be busy with his own merchandise. He's not going to work to save your merchandise. So therefore, if the merchandise stays entitled with the seller until another kinyan is made, so a physical kinyan, it's transferred over to him. So that'll solve that problem. So since midaraisa mois or kainis, midaraisa, you gave money or you even gave a portion of the money, that's considered a valid kinyan. So therefore, even though the Rabbanan we said not, but therefore if someone can't back out of that, the Rabbanan wanted to help the buyer that he should be protected, but not that he should back out of the transaction when midaraisa the transaction was valid. So therefore, if he does do that, he does get a curse of mishapara, and he's not allowed to decide, I want to do it and I'll get the curse anyway. It's something which is us to do. Cult of